Sandy's devastation brought renewed attention to worries about sea level rise and overdevelopment along New Jersey's coast. But flooding has long been a problem in inland parts of the state. Of particular concern are properties that flood time after time, frustrating homeowners and straining the resources of local officials. New Jersey Public Radio's Scott Gurian reports on attempts to deal with a complicated challenge that has no easy solutions.
All right, so this house here on the right, as you can see, is very low to the ground. This house has been flooded dozen and a half times.
As Fire Department Captain Tom Kelly gives a tour of his neighborhood in Hillsdale, a quiet suburban town in Bergen County, it's hard to reconcile the neatly manicured lawns, shade-covered streets, and tiny brook with the scene he describes.
The water flows right down this street, and it flows right into the house. So every time they renovate it, they finish it, someone moves in, and it floods.
With more severe storms, flooding has become increasingly common over the past few years, causing hardship for many residents here. Kelly points to one house that's now sitting vacant.
This woman here, she's an older lady. She moved out after Irene and has not come back. She couldn't deal with it anymore.
Much of the problem involves older homes built prior to current flood zone construction standards. If they're substantially damaged in a storm, they need to be elevated above the floodplain. But if the damage is more minor, homeowners are often allowed to rebuild in the same place and the same way, only to be hit again by the next big storm. Over time, these small flood insurance payments can add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars, more than the properties are even worth.
People have wanted to address this for a long time, but it really wasn't until Hurricane Katrina that the gravity of it became so obvious.
Scott Knowles is a disaster historian and professor at Drexel University who studied so-called repetitive loss properties.
We had a relatively small number of properties in the overall portfolio of the flood insurance program. This is a program that covers 5.5 million households across the country. A small percentage of which were costing well outside of a reasonable percentage of the overall losses.
New Jersey is particularly vulnerable, with more residents per square mile than any other state. And Wayne Township sits at the top of the list. Sandwiched between the Passaic and Pompton Rivers, Wayne has more than 600 properties that regularly flood, and some homeowners have filed as many as 18 or 19 insurance claims over the years. Christopher Vergano is Wayne's mayor.
There's no simple solution to flooding. And if people think that somebody's going to come up and wave the magic wand and it's going to stop, they're crazy.
He says Wayne has been able to make a significant dent in its flooding problem, however, by negotiating with FEMA and the state for buyouts of about 220 homes. Plans are also in the works for the federal government to acquire an additional 113 residences.
FEMA has found it's more effective for us to purchase the homes than for them to pay out, you know, millions of dollars in damages during a flood. So we're probably the most successful town in the state of New Jersey when it comes to buyouts.
Buyouts aren't necessarily the best option for everyone, though, especially in towns with high property values. In those cases, spending money to purchase homes may mean the government is essentially getting less bang for its buck.
We got $2 million to buy 4 houses.
John Berkner is the mayor of Westwood. Like in neighboring Hillsdale, parts of his town regularly flood when big storms overwhelm the Pascack Brook, which funnels water out of the Woodcliff Lake Reservoir. Given the option, he would have preferred to use the money in other ways, such as clearing the stream of debris.
If that $2 million were spent, we probably could have cleaned the whole darn brook, which would have had more of an immediate effect an impact on the neighborhoods than the purchasing of 4 houses. We probably could have elevated 50 houses for that money. The move is to purchase houses in these areas. And while that may do well for the people who get their homes purchased, it really is not doing a lot for the people who are left behind.
People like longtime Westwood residents Tom and Leslie Bisdale, whose backyard is just a few hundred feet from the brook. For the first 9 years they owned their home, they never had any problems with flooding and never felt it was much of an issue. But then, during Hurricane Floyd in 1999, the entire ground floor of their split-level ranch filled with water. In 2011, it flooded 4 more times. Despite having a federal flood insurance policy, Leslie says the storms have proven costly, so she's taken small steps to waterproof the lower level of her house.
Each time we flood, we try to do something different to mitigate the cost, to alleviate some of, you know, our insurance claims. It's not a fun position to think of yourself, you know, on the public dole. You know, why don't you just move? Well, I would if I could. I would love to move.
The flooding has taken a toll on her home's value, though, making selling it a difficult proposition. The Bisdales are still hoping to receive a buyout or money to elevate their home. In the meantime, Tom thinks the water levels should be lowered in the reservoir to provide a buffer in advance of rainy weather.
You know, if they don't have to keep it full and they can take the runoff without having to release water into an already full brook, you know, if they can keep it low enough to withstand that kind of a storm, our problem essentially would be solved.
That idea has been rejected, though, by the state and experts like John Miller of the New Jersey Association for Floodplain Management. He worries that last-minute changes in weather forecasts could mean officials start out trying to prevent a flood, but end up causing a drought. Managing a reservoir, he says, is a complicated job.
It's kind of like the Monday morning quarterback. It's like you're going to be questioning, well, should they have released it earlier or maybe not enough? Or now what are we going to do with this thing that's supposed to be our backup water supply and it's not available now? Or the storm didn't come or did come, and it gets really tricky. It's very hard to do.
Instead, Miller says the focus needs to stay on downstream flood management practices, starting with changing development patterns to prevent future homes from being built in high-risk areas. He doesn't think the state's flood problem will be addressed in our lifetime, nor, he says, will it ever be completely solved. But he does think the state is making some incremental progress. By buying out and elevating homes, he says, New Jersey is starting to buy down some of the risk. For WNYC, I'm Scott Gurian.